Hello and welcome back to City Beautiful SC. It is an official Orlando City podcast, a fan podcast. This is the first episode, so I'm excited about getting this thing started. I've actually been thinking about this for months on end. I am currently doing an MLS podcast called Stateside Soccer Show with Jordan Wiegand. So if you want all things MLS, all things U.S. men's national team related, we're actually getting ready to record an episode tomorrow where we're going to be talking about U.S. men's national team and the January camp. A lot of guys on the roster, including our very own Mikey Holiday of Orlando City SC, a young defensive player that's going to get some run with the U.S. men's national team. So I'm excited about that and his chance to get into those kind of camps, whether it's with the U-20s, whatever it might be. I think that the experience that he can get in these camps are phenomenal. So I am excited about seeing the opportunities that some of our young guys get. Daryl DK was obviously the last U.S. men's national team player that appeared for Orlando City. And when DK was healthy, he was phenomenal. Goes over, is now playing with West Brom and is tearing it up, lighting it up. He's actually back healthy. Sorry if you see my cat jump in here if you're watching the YouTube video. These are some Lions that are really excited about this season getting underway. 2022-2023 season is upon us in about a month. We actually just started preseason training. The guys are back here. I'm trying to get my cat not to do whatever she is doing. She's she is an active participant in this podcast, as you will very well see and hear. She is much more of the podcaster than the other kitty. That's Hazel. But yeah, let's get started. Sorry about all the cat talk. They just like to invade my space whenever I'm doing these podcasts. So if you see them, hear them, I do apologize or don't apologize because they're kittens. They don't really understand. So let's get started. A lot has happened since we last left Orlando City back in, I guess this would have been back in, when did they get eliminated? Was it November of last year, I believe. So, oh, there's the J. But yeah, we are actually going to be talking about Orlando City's offseason, the moves that they've made, the transactions that have happened, a lot of movement from returning players, a lot of movement as far as incoming, and a lot of movement as far as outgoing. So I think that's the first thing that we'll tackle are some of these outgoing players that have left the team and are no longer with Orlando City as of this offseason, this winter, that has happened. Lots of movement, lots of players that we have gotten used to as a fan base, making their different moves to different clubs, some heading back to places in which they're from, some heading into different clubs in the MLS, some making their extensive move over to Europe. So there's a lot going on. Let's talk a little bit about each of the players that are leaving. The first one that does pop up on one of these tabs that I've been pulling up, João Moutinho bids farewell to Orlando City and is headed overseas. He's going to Portugal. He was out of contract for the 2022 season, so he makes the move. Orlando officially bid farewell to him. He's played extremely well for Orlando City. He logged 2,461 minutes across 28 regular season matches. He started 2021, he essentially doubled both the number of matches he started in 2021 with the 2022 season. He was hurt often, so we didn't get to see a lot of him as an Orlando City fan. But the flashes of hope that we did see with João Moutinho, I think, was seen across Europe. I think there are a lot of European teams that were excited about possibly getting in him into the side. And he does sign over there Serie A, which is Spezia Calcio is where he currently is. João Moutinho is out as a left back for Orlando City. So they lose some key pieces there in the defense, which we'll get into and talk about. He's 24 years old, so a younger guy. I think somebody that could end up playing at bigger clubs when it comes to Europe and when Europe is calling or comes knocking, you go. So, and that's what João Moutinho did. He heads back over closer to home. So good luck to Joao. It will be a shame just not getting to see him, just because I think there were moments in 2020 and 2021 where we really saw glimpses of him becoming something that could be very promising, something that could make a big leap for Orlando City, just because he was that left back that really created the attack and did a nice job of going forward when needed. You then have another move made, Andres Pereira heading to the Philadelphia Union. Pereira spent time with Orlando City in that defensive midfield role. He really didn't get completely, I guess, ingrained into Oscar Pereira's starting 11. They sell him for $750,000 general allocation money, GAM, to the Philadelphia Union. The club receives $450,000 in 2023 and then $300,000 more in 2024. So a good chunk of cash. I think he's a good piece to have as a kind of like a defensive escape for somebody like Leon Flock, who's in Philadelphia. I think he's a good backup piece, much like he was in Orlando. I think that, you know, he just never solidified his starting role. He got some time with U.S. men's national team. I think as a very youthful player, I think he has a lot of potential to be special. I just don't think he's there yet. He's 22 years old, so he's not quite into that sweet spot of his career. He's still developing as a young player. And I think over time, Andres Pereira does have a chance to become something special. He just will not be doing it in Orlando, as he is off to the Philadelphia Union. Juan is off to DC United, the right back, the energizer. I always like to call him the Energizer Bunny. He was everywhere for Orlando City at times. You know, very durable. Did miss a couple games here and there, but for the most part, you could almost count on Juan playing extremely well for Orlando City, a fan favorite, and, you know, starting right back. So they do get the number two overall selection in the draft, which we'll talk about, and I think could be a special player. But I think this move had to be made in the sense of, I think Orlando City just, I think there became a point where the Will family and ownership look at this, Luis Muzzi, or Muzzi, looks at this and says, you know, I think as a president of soccer operations, as a general manager, I think this team needs a shakeup. And I think this is one of those places that you really look for. I think this is a project that's starting. It's not really a rebuild. It's more of a retool. I think they're surrounding themselves with a lot more young talent, players that they think can ultimately play extremely well, grow, develop here, and then off to Europe or wherever they might go in South America. Again, just depends on what, you know, I think it's an investment. I think this club's become an investment club where they look at different projects and different prospects around the United States, around South America, especially as we'll get into some of these signings that they've made. But I think they're looking at different things that they can do to help themselves develop young talent and then also move that talent for more money and flip them for profit. So that's another move that's been made. Orlando City moving on from Juan. So another valuable piece, another leader in this club is going to be on the move. Benji Michel Arruca in Liga Portugal. He's on the move, left winger for Orlando City. He actually scored in one of his matches just recently. I'm trying to figure out what the club I had the wrong tab up. Oh, there. Arruca. He scores in, I think, his second game for Arruca. So Benji Michel off to a nice little start over in Portugal. So he gets his move over there. He's 25 years old, had some time with U.S. men's national team. But again, Benji, a good rotational piece, a good piece to have in behind if you needed depth, but was never really able to kind of crack that starting 11 for Oscar Pereira. And I think that's ultimately why they decided, you know what, it's just time to move on. Benji goes on a free transfer, so no money given to Orlando City for the move of Benji Michel. So, you know, not a ton loss, I don't think. I think you can replace that. I think Benji is, you know, he deserves that move. He deserves that chance to go play in Europe and to, you know, make a little bit more money, obviously, but play in some of the bigger leagues over in Europe. But again, I don't think Orlando City is going to be hard missed to find somebody that will replace him eventually, just kind of equal that production and talent level, and probably better. So I think it's a good move for both clubs. I think Benji just never quite got into it. A lot of these guys are fan favorites. I don't think Benji was a good player, but I don't think he was anything special that Orlando City fans By this time next year, are going to be thinking about, oh man, we really miss Benji and Michelle. So, and that's a lot of these guys. I mean, I think there's a lot of them that move on, that I think it was just time. The club decided it was just time. Wuhan is one. Andre Perea, again, I think that was just a no-brainer. Alexander Alvarado, who makes his official move to LDU Quito, which is the club, and I believe Colombia, I'm going to say it is. So they make him a permanent transfer, never really got much time with Orlando City, a young kid. But going forward, I just don't think there was much available for him as far as playing time. And a lot of these guys go back home and they want to play in clubs where they think that they can get back in. I think it's Ecuador, sorry. But they want to go play with clubs that they're comfortable with teams that they know. And getting him back to the Ecuadorian league is good for a young kid like Alexander, who's never going to find time for Orlando City. Nicholas Giacchini is off to St. Louis City. He was taken in the expansion draft. Giacchini was never really a staple or anything for Orlando City. He spent time abroad. The U.S. men's national team thought he could be something pretty special, but I guess he's just never really panned out wherever he's been. He's only 22. He's a center forward, 22-year-old. I think with St. Louis, he's got some MLS experience. He's got some European experience. I think he starts for St. Louis. I think he is a nice addition, and hopefully he can flourish there. It's a great city to play soccer and sports in, and I think that's something that he can do as far as playing soccer is concerned. I think he goes and develops really well there. So Sylvester Vandervater is another player that is gone from last year's team. He made that move last year. But again, a lot of turnover from this roster. This was just included in a transfer market thing that I have pulled up, but he was gone long before. And again, just never really integrated into his role in Orlando City. I think he had some special talents, but he just never got quite adjusted to being over here in the United States. Junior Urso is probably the biggest one, I would say, out of this whole bunch to move on. Junior Urso's going with Coritiba FC, which is a Brazilian club. He's back in Brazil where he's from. Junior Urso, a massive, massive loss, I think, just because he's just the heartbeat, I felt like, of this team at times. He had a hard time leaving this city, I think, which was clearly stated in his exit. He didn't want to really have to move, but at times life just takes it, you know, takes you down this journey and down this path that you just have to go. And I think this ultimately, the club says, you know, he's an aging midfielder. They want to get younger. And I think that's part of this project is why people are like, why are all these players leaving? Why is there so much turnover? I think ultimately it is. It's because a lot of these clubs are saying, you know, like Orlando City, you know, I think it's just time. It's time to kind of go and drop some of these players that have been staples and massive parts of your organization. But yeah, it's sad. I'm really sad to see Junior Urso moving on. You know, in this club statement, again, by Luis Muzy, he said, while we saw him as an important piece for us moving forward and we were excited to welcome back in 2023, we recognize that some things are just more important than soccer. Junior loved being back at home, and Junior was always going to have a home here in Orlando. So I think that's ultimately what happens. Junior moves on after quite a career. In Orlando, he scored 12 goals and had a 10 assists in MLS, playing in 3 seasons with Orlando City, 14 goals and 11 assists in all competitive competitions. He truly is going to be missed. He's one of my favorite players, and we will truly miss you, Junior. I love you. I wish you would have stayed. But again, more things important than football and being home with family and being back in the country that you love and where you're from is ultimately probably going to bring you back at the age in which he is. He's 33. Another person that's out and on the move, Alexander Pato. There was no official announcement as to right away with what he was going on, but I think he has retired since. I might be wrong on that, but it did seem like Pato was out of the club and on his way to retirement. So I know he's gone. Tesho Akindele did announce his retirement. 30-year-old forward has retired and has gone on. It looks like Pato hasn't officially retired, but I don't think he's really latched on anywhere else, and nor did he have really any kind of, understanding of, like, where he was going to go or if he was going to go. So Tesho also moving on and retiring, taking a step away from soccer. He's actually tweeted a bunch. He's actually gone into investment in properties, so he's got a bunch of properties around the United States that he rents out, and I think that it's ultimately something that he's decided to do and something that he's happy with doing. He likes to be that businessman, that investor. He's a smart person. He's done what he needs in soccer, and I think it's just time to move on. 30 years old, so Tesho, we wish you all the best in your happy retirement. And I think that that was something that he had been planning over the last year or so. Just, you know, I think it was just time, and he steps away from the game, the Canadian center forward. So kudos and best wishes to Tesho. Jake Mulroney leaves. He actually just left. I mean, it was announced. I forget what day this was, but it was relatively recent. He goes to Irish club St. Patrick. Oh, yeah, January 18th. So the day of this recording is January 22nd. He leaves on the 18th. Jake, wish you all the best. Not really somebody that got heavily involved with Orlando City. It was a nice little piece to have on the left side of midfield. But again, nothing I think that Orlando City was, you know, bearing itself for, bracing itself for, ready to move on. Joey Desart, also gone. He is without a club currently. But he is one that also has left the club. So a lot of departures, a lot of moving pieces. Orlando City building a roster then in and around the young guys that they're finding, a lot of South American talent, which we'll kind of get into. But again, right now, I think Orlando City's in a nice little transition period, and I think a very competitive transition period. They went out and signed Martin Ojeda, who's a huge signing from Argentina, young talent that I think European clubs like Arsenal, I think Everton at one point, even the likes of like Liverpool and City were kind of eyeballing him a little bit and scouting him and kind of tracking his progression. So a massive, massive signing. So let's get into that. Martin Ojeda, who is a ginormous signing for Orlando City. I think when you look at this signing, this is a signing that says, yes, while we are on the retooling bit, we are also going to be looking at this as a time to kind of build our club and really get into being competitive once again in the MLS Eastern Conference. So signing Martin Ojeda as a designated player was a huge step for this side. He comes from Godoy Cruz, which is a relatively average, below average team in Argentina. So he has been playing with a relatively – or sorry, wrong. I've got them mixed up. Sorry, he's the top flight, Godoy Cruz. And then I think Gaston Gonzalez was also – I wanted to say him in it. Gaston Gonzalez was the one that was playing ultimately with not a great club. So when he was in Argentina. But Martin Ojeda, top flight – side Godoy Cruz, the club made it official today. Lions signed him on a three-year deal with going through 2025, holding two additional option years that could keep him in the purple until 2027. I doubt that this makes it that far. I doubt that he's here that long. I think that a year or two tops. I think he's much like Facundo Torres. I think the United States, or sorry, MLS has looked into investing into people and bringing them to the United States as kind of that propeller club to throw them over into Europe. So I think that's what MLS has become. The United States has become. So it's exciting. Martin Ojeda is a phenomenal attacking player, somebody that could really contribute to a side like Orlando City. And it means a ton because, you know, he takes up a DP spot. He goes in, he's the third DP that Orlando City have alongside Erkan Cara and Facundo Torres. So this is not just something that they do to kind of sign and hope he's a prospect piece that comes up. He's scored 35 goals and added 23 assists in 139 competitive professional matches. So since he's been in the Argentinian sides, he's done extremely well. He's played some of the top soccer in that league and warrants a move to an Orlando City that is desperate for attacking answers. So Facundo Torres and Erkan Cara get an addition in Martin Ojeda, who's going to make that attacking side much stronger. And we'll talk a little bit more about these players as time goes on. Orlando City also go in and sign Brazilian left back Rafael Santos. Rafael Santos was playing with in Brazil Serie A. And he is, where is he from? I always have a hard time finding where these folks are from. Cruzeiro, who is of the Brazilian Serie A side, and a good defensive. I think he's a left-footed left back. So that helps having somebody with that, you know, being on the left foot, on the left side, on, you know, being able to spread out the attack. Kind of joining into that attacking side over there on that where Joao Moutinho had been previously, and kind of adding into that attacking force that is going to be, you know, Facundo Torres. It's going to have Mauricio Pereira. It's going to have guys like Eric Ankara in that attacking piece. So you need somebody to kind of set that up. And I think they look at Rafael and they say, you know, I think it's a good signing, somebody that can add into the attack, somebody that's going to be a two-dimensional player and really be able to add to different pieces that Orlando City need to kind of spice up the attacking front and force that was lacking last year. They also signed Fabian Loyala to a homegrown player contract, the 17-year-old midfielder, 13th homegrown, signs through 2025. So the 17-year-old gets a nice little contract. Exciting young talent, a lot of room to grow. He is somebody that Orlando thinks that can develop into a first side kind of talent. So I guess we'll see, depending on how that all works out. Mauricio Pereira, resigns a contract for 2024, which releases him of the DP spot that he was taking, which means that Orlando City have the will and means to go out and get somebody like a Martin Ojeda, and I think a massive move. Mauricio Pereira, really one of the only lasting pieces right there through that central midfield. I think they're going to kind of keep him in a deeper lying role as he does get older. I think he's going to kind of take in that role where it's like a defensive mid, but like kind of an attacking mid at the same point. He's going to be that flex six option, eight option, where he's going up and down the field and kind of using the middle of the pitch to really operate. So I think Pereira just drops back a little bit further, but I think a nice piece that Orlando needed, and then a captain that can lead this 2023 roster. It's going to be a lot of younger guys, a lot of developmental pieces. And I think somebody that knows this league is going to help tremendously when they're kind of commanding that midfield. They go and add some midfield depth with Felipe Martins, which is a veteran piece, kind of drops back defensively, sometimes central midfielder. He was with Austin, real good friends with Kaká. So it's going to be a lot of fun to see how Felipe Martins jumps into this side. I think he's got some great experience, some great depth, which is really what you need. I mean, when you're rounding out a roster, we really like what Orlando City have done in that midfield spot to kind of shore up some of those missing pieces that are gone, like an Andre Pereira, Sebastian Mendez, people like that, that can kind of come into that middle of the field and kind of be that core of your defense or core of your attack, however you want to put it. But Martins, good signing. I think a great signing because it's experience, midfield depth, and having depth is what Orlando City, I think, at times lacks. So this is a nice signing. I enjoy this signing. I don't think it's anything to write home about, but I think it's one that Orlando City had to make. They also went out and traded in November for Luca Petrasso. Luca Petrasso is going to be a defender, adds to some of that defensive depth that you need, a left-footed defender and midfielder. You kind of can play up in that midfield area as well. If, you know, he's able to kind of grow into the potential that I think they thought that he had, I think he kind of becomes one of these attacking defensive players that can kind of join in the attack, join up on the wing, go down the side, come inside if he really needs to, and defend. You know, I think it's a good move. It's not anything sparkling or dazzling, but I think it's one, again, like Felipe Martins, that you needed to make to kind of add to that depth and really make sure that you're shoring up the defense that kind of took a hit with Joao Moutinho and Ruan, both departing the club. So a good signing for Petrasso, I think. So what else? Anything else as far as – oh, yeah, Pedro Galese signs a new contract, which keeps him at the club until 2024 with an additional option for 2025. Sounds like Pedro's just willing to stay here with Orlando City. I think he might just end his time before he does go back, I think, to Peru. So I think that's – it's a nice move. It's a good move that you have to make. I think it's one that he wants to be – you know, involved in MLS as long as he can, and then make a move back to a club in his home country. And I think that's fine with him. I think that's something that he's excited about. He's a fantastic goalkeeper, one of the top goalkeepers in this league. So it is nice that Orlando City have kind of locked in and made him that permanent piece, because trying to find a goaltender at times and trying to find somebody that can kind of keep the ball in that can be very difficult. And we've seen at times that it can be a disaster for a team not to have somebody back there to stop the ball, but also get involved in possession-based soccer, which Orlando City seems to be capable of at times. So that's pretty much all the moves. They did go in with the number two pick after Wuhan was traded to DC United for Shakur Mohammed. A lot of people think that he's going to be a brilliant piece going forward. He's a midfielder. strong, athletic. I think he's got potential to be special. So again, it'll be interesting to kind of see how he was. He was from Duke, and at Duke, he had 13 goals, 9 assists in 35 games. A really good piece, I think, to add. And it's somebody I think that you take out of the super draft, first or second picks usually kind of are the ones that you look at and go, okay, those guys might be in MLS. And this guy, I think, has an opportunity to really shake some things up. I think he might get some time coming up in the season, just depending on how many games they play. We've got Leagues Cup coming in. You got U.S. Open Cup. You've got Champions League. You got so many games and matches to play that I do think Shakur does kind of have an opportunity to break into, you know, the 18 that Oscar Pereira is going to have. So excited about the draft pick, really pumped for Orlando City. I think they did a nice job in the draft, but that was the one I really wanted to highlight just because I think there is a difference maker on the horizon for Orlando City. So kind of going through their depth chart, you got Pedro Galese, Mason Studahar, Adam Greenweis, and then Javier Otero as their goalkeepers. As defenders, Robin Janssen, who was back in training after his knee injury last year. Antonio Carlos is back and healthy. Luca Petrasso, who is the one from Toronto that we just spoke of. Rafael Santos. You've got Rodrigo Schlegel, Kyle Smith, Thomas Williams, and Michael Holiday, rounded out with Alex Friedman. So you got some nice defensive depth, some young and some veteran presence. So that's really nice to have Robin and Antonio. If those two stay healthy, it's one of the top two center back pairings in the league. But it's, again, dependent upon their health. They've both been kind of iffy last couple of years. So that's kind of what's shaking up their defense a little bit. Mauricio Pereira, Facundo Torres, Cesar Arujo, Martin Ojeda, Wilder Cartagena. I always have a hard time with him. I always have to like slow him down because I always get that mixed up. Felipe Martins, and then Wilfredo Rivera. You got Eric Ankara, Ivan Angulo, and Jack Len over on the forward side. You're also going to have Gaston Gonzalez, who missed last year with an ACL injury. He missed 31 matches for the 31 potential matches he could have played in for Orlando City. So those are some big, big news, big transfers. You know, a lot of things happening in the offseason for Orlando City. This is going to be massive. This is going to be huge for Orlando City this season coming up because you got Leagues Cup, you got Champions League, you've got things like defending the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. And then you've got the Eastern Conference, which is very open. I mean, to be honest, you know, from I would say two down, those spots are wide open for whoever wants them. I think Philadelphia obviously are going to be very competitive. I think Nashville ends up being very competitive from Red Bull also. And then after that, I really do. I think you've got like a steep drop off in the kind of teams that are going to compete for these, you know, three or four through seven kind of playoff spots. So again, it should be interesting. NYCFC always going to be a strength. So, but again, there's a lot of open areas in the bottom half of that playoff bracket. We'll kind of get into previews of what we should expect for Orlando City, but I do want to go over a couple things that were announced. Preseason has started. So the boys are back in training. This last week was their first week in training. So they are back at the Osceola Heritage. I think it's Osceola Heritage Park down there in Kissimmee, and they're training, getting back into shape. The slate is highlighted by an open door contest at Exploria on Saturday, February 18th, not September, as they will take on the New England Revolution as part of the club's annual kickoff of soccer events. The scrimmage is going to run in conjunction with the reveal of the highly anticipated primary jersey for 2023 and 2024. So this season, the event's going to be a general admission with season ticket members receiving complimentary tickets that will grant access to the launch and the match. So a great opportunity to go in, see the kit, go in for general admission at $10. It goes to a nice proceed called Orlando City Foundation. And there's a lot of events, music, food, run. They're going to have some scrimmages. They're going to have some young kids playing. They're going to have some of the opportunities to go out to the training ground, it looks like. It looks like it's going to be a really nice opportunity to go see the Orlando City Lions take off. Monday, January 9th at the Orlando Health Training Ground in Osceola Heritage Park. 2 weeks later, that's when they start the preseason training, was January 9th. But this last one was really where they start to get into this preseason camp. And then they're actually going to be in IMG Academy as you're listening to this podcast, January 23rd through the 28th. Their first scrimmage is the February 1st date against Minnesota United. They will then return to the pitch the following week to take on Florida International University on February 4th. And then facing another opponent on February 7th, but that is to be determined or be to be announced. Sorry. The Lions will then take the field on February 11th against the Colorado Rapids to hosting Stetson University on the 15th for a midweek match. And then we'll conclude with that February 18th New England Revolution scrimmage. So a lot going on. Make sure you guys are checking out all the Orlando City stuff over on Orlando City's website, because they've got a lot of the pre-season stuff and a lot of those like February 18th events where they're going to kind of lead into the season. So pretty cool opportunity to go out and see for general admission, $10. That's awesome. You get to see the kit, get to buy the kit. Maybe I don't remember how that works, but I think you can buy the kit that same night and then you get to go to the game. So go see a bunch of the Lions play, go get to see some of the boys probably for 45 minutes or so. And then you get to see a lot of the young kids play as the academies are starting to pick up as well. Last, but certainly most, is going to be Leagues Cup 2023. Orlando City was drawn into Group L with Santos Laguna and Houston Dynamo. Santos Laguna, if you do not know, is a staple in Liga MX, Liga MX, and a club that Orlando City probably wish they hadn't really drawn, because they're going to get to see some of the top talent in Liga MX. In the Apertura, which is the first part of the season for Liga MX, they finished third up against Monterrey and Club America. Right now, they're currently sitting fourth in the second part of the season, the Clausura, which is only three matches deep. Santos Laguna, a very good club, a very tough club to play against. But I am super pumped to see them play this Liga MX side. Houston, on the other side, is a very, very tough team if you played them like 8 years ago. But they are not a good club now, and I think they've gotten worse since last season. So, again, I think it's a group of death if you just consider the fact that there's only three teams in this group. And then if you look at the other groups and stuff like that, you don't want to see Club America or you don't want to see Monterrey. Like, those are just teams you TKS. You want to avoid those teams and you want to avoid Santos. So if you get in with one of those, you're the group of death. I think there's multiple groups of death. There are some easier groups as well, but Orlando City did not get an easy one. Santos is very good. I think the top club out of each group gets through, and it'll be very tough to dethrone Club Santos Laguna. So I don't know how that's going to go. It's a very tough draw. I'm excited to kind of see what that all looks like. We'll talk a little bit more about Open Cup. We might even do an episode coming up here. Actually, we probably will. Let's do an episode, whether it be with Stateside, and I'll put it on this feed or not. We'll talk about League Cup. And the teams that are going to be facing with Orlando City. So I'll kind of talk through Orlando City, Santos Laguna, and Houston Dynamo over the next week or so. And I'll put that up so we kind of understand like who all that, you know, entails, who we are playing, who we're up against, players that we're excited to see and stuff like that. So we'll go over the other groups as well. So that's pretty much it as far as this first episode is concerned. I know it's probably a lot of rambling and a lot of noises and stuff, but thanks again for listening. If you did listen, again, this is City Beautiful SC, an Orlando City podcast, an official fan podcast, an unofficial Orlando City podcast. So I'm excited to see where this goes. I'm really excited to cover this club this year. I think they've got a lot of experience, a lot of talent. I'm sad to see some of these players go that have been a staple since I've been watching Orlando City, which for those of you that don't know, my history with Orlando City goes back to 2013 when they first became an expansion club side. I don't really know if I followed them too much. I followed them very casually as a fan until probably about 2019, 2020, because that's when we started to really pick up MLS's back. So I guess 2020 would have been more accurate. 2020. So I've really only been covering for 2 years, but I've been following them loosely since 2013. So I remember guys like Kaká. I think there are different pieces that I remember, like Kyle Aaron, but there's different also players that have come through that I don't remember at all. So again, very loosely, this is like my third year truly covering the league because we've done Stateside Soccer Show. So if you want to listen to an MLS podcast, go over to the Stateside Soccer Show on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, whatever it might be. We're going to officially be on Facebook and Instagram a little bit later, but we're going to get this started with Twitter and YouTube. This will be up on YouTube on Monday, January 23rd. I couldn't get it up right away just because they're kind of checking through the different live videos and stuff like that for YouTube. So I'm going to have it uploaded and published and scheduled ready for the 23rd on a Monday, which is when this podcast will also be dropped on the 23rd, a Monday. So again, Monday releases. I'm going to hopefully try to record these on Sunday, depending on the games as well. It might be a Monday. So bear with me as we kind of try to learn, you know, different things about how we're going to podcast and do this team and cover this team. I want to provide instant content. I want to bring fans on. I want to bring other people on just so I get a break from talking. Having to do this by yourself at times is very difficult just because you want to drink water and you're, you know, winded from talking so much. But if you're wanting to join me as a host, co-host, send me your information. We'll talk a little bit, see how we go and test, maybe screen test a little bit, see how we get along. But I'm looking for people to kind of jump on and help me as much as possible with this line or this Orlando City podcast, maybe one or two people to kind of jump in and co-host with me and take over some of the content. So if you're willing, just message me on Twitter at CityBeautiful13, C and the B are capitalized, CityBeautiful13 over on Twitter. Just slide into the DMs and we'll talk there. But again, thanks for listening. If you have listened, this is the first episode, a rough episode. I just wanted to get so much out there. And I talk fast, so hopefully you caught all of that. So if you liked what you heard, subscribe, like, head over to Twitter, CityBeautiful13. That's where you can find us on Twitter, CityBeautifulSC and Orlando City Podcast on YouTube and then Facebook, and then we'll get jumped up and ready to go before the season starts. But I did want to kind of get these two off the ground and running before we got those done. But again, thanks for listening. Really appreciate it. And go Lions.